And behold, the lawyer stood and put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, The one who showed mercy. And Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise. This is our text. Where do you see yourself in that parable? Perhaps this morning you see yourself more like the priest, maybe the Levite. Perhaps you like to see yourself as the Samaritan. He seems to be the desirable one because Jesus literally commends his behavior. Now, this morning, as we observe the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, there are times we stand back and say, That's me. I'm the Good Samaritan. You see, I see the vulnerable and I reach out and I do something about it. I defend the unborn. I minister to those who have made poor choices in life and now suffer from the consequences. I wrap my arms around them and love them as my brother or sister in Christ. I show compassion to those who are suffering with chronic illnesses or those who are disabled or are terminally ill. I show the compassion of the Good Samaritan. Yes, Pastor, that is me. See, the problem with that attitude, it's a little bit arrogant. I'm the good shepherd. No, I'm the good Samaritan because I'm pro-life. In fact, I'm so pro-life, it's not referred to as pro-life anymore. It's called life-affirming. See, I got it right. You need to be more like me. Man, it is so tempting to feel that way. Especially as Lutherans whose church body has taken a strong stance in the defense of life from the very womb to the grave. But as Lutherans, we can't start there now, can we? We can't start where the Good Samaritan is now, can we? No, our location is not in the road. Our location is a little bit more to the right or to the left. It's called the ditch. See, that's who you and I should identify with. The man beaten in the ditch. The man who is helpless. The man who longs for someone to wrap their arms around him and provide comfort and aid in his time of trouble. If we're going to be like anybody in this parable, maybe we better start by being the man in the ditch, beaten, bleeding, helpless, forsaken, and left for dead. Because that is indeed who we are. Now, today in Nebraska, often this time of year, it's not freezing rain, but it's snow that we receive. And I remember growing up, we would get a lot more snow, and often the ditches would be full of it. And snow is very beautiful. You ever notice that? The snowflakes are all unique to themselves, and the way they drift is amazing. Well, provided you're not going somewhere and it's not on your sidewalk or in the road ahead of you, I kind of like snow. But the problem is, when the weather begins to change and the snow begins to melt, it begins to reveal the stuff that's below it, the stuff that was no longer in sight, that was hidden. Like that dirty snow, after it begins to melt, it looks disgusting. And then you look in the ditch and there's animals who have been hit by cars, and now their carcasses are rotten and being torn apart by animals. There's dirty diapers and adult beverage containers in the ditch. The ditch is not a place we want to be. The reality is, the ditch is a filthy place. But indeed, that's where we need to start, because that's who you and I are. The problem is when we take off that facade of our own self-righteousness, we begin to find that beneath that, we too are pretty filthy. At times, just downright disgusting. There is corruption and a rotten nature which dwells within each and every one of us from the very moment of conception. Every one of us is beaten. We are bleeding, helpless, forsaken, left for dead. And we know it. But that's a good thing, right? Isn't it a good thing that you and I begin to realize the utter helpless depravity of who we are? Because we get a really finite understanding of the compassion of the Good Samaritan, who in his infinite love and mercy embraced someone who was beaten, bleeding, and left for dead. The Samaritan didn't have to stop. The priests and the Levite, the religious leaders of the day, they had set the example. Dude, go by on the other side of the road. Don't waste your time. But the Samaritan stopped. Then astonishingly, he gets down off of his animal and goes down in the ditch with the man to be with him. There was a letter that was received by the Lutherans for Life national headquarters from a woman who was a post-abortive mother. And she wrote in part these words: "I never realized that Jesus Christ was willing to get down in my muck and miry life and lift me up out of the sewage of my problems. He has since shown me who He really is. Yet Jesus did not only willingly go down to the muck and the mire of our daily lives, but He did it out of love for you and me. He showed compassion. He came into the filthy ditch filled with dirty diapers and adult beverage cans and that dirty snow and that ugliness of our daily lives. And there He hung upon the cross. And there He suffered and died in our place. Beaten, bleeding, helpless, forsaken, and left for dead. He absorbed all of our filth, of all of our sin. He washes it all away in the water of our baptism. He stops our bleeding by His blood. He stops our dying by His death upon the cross of Calvary. And the reality, He lifts us up and He gives us new life through His resurrection from the dead. See, the reality, Jesus covers up all of our impurity. All of it. The prophet Isaiah says that though our sins are like scarlet, may I add on, like scarlet, like a dirty, dungy, yucky ditch, they shall be white as snow. He brings us into the whiteness of a new life with Him. Presley got to experience that this morning. As he laid back, and I had to fight to keep from laughing because he just sat there smiling at me. But God ushered him into the family of God in the same way that He has ushered you into it. In spite of all you have done, all you've said, all you've thought, He has called you his very own. He has not abandoned you and gone by on the other side. Your sin is unforgivable. I cannot love you because of what you've done. Jesus says, I love you because of whose you are, because you are mine. And he sets you back upon the road with the certain hope of your own resurrection to eternal life because of faith in him. Now, as residents of the ditch, now we inhabit the road. And as Christians upon the road of life, we're just like the Good Samaritan. Our eyes are fixed on the ditch for all those around us that are hurting and suffering. And the reality is, we want to be Christ to them. We want to be his hands. We want to be his love to those who are suffering. The truth is, as you and I walk with the resurrection hope before us, we keep our eyes on the ditch. We look for the lost. Our eyes are now peeled for the beating. Our eyes look for those who are bleeding and helpless and left for dead. And we see them. We don't walk away. We don't walk by on the other side and say, I can't do that. Pastor, I don't want to be involved in that. We no longer pick and choose. We can't look at the vulnerable and then say, well, it's too controversial. I can't touch that, Pastor. I can't look at the vulnerable and say, well, it's a political issue and I'm not down with that. People might not like me. The love of Christ does not tell us that we should reach out. The love of Christ compels us to reach out. As a Christian, Christ's love compels us. So when we see that embryo in the petri dish in that ditch of life, who are vulnerable and they're helpless and they're destined for destruction, we are compelled to speak and to defend them. Not because it's the right thing to do, not because it's the moral thing to do, because it's the Christ thing to do. Our Lord Jesus Christ was incarnate in the womb as an embryo, giving value to all embryos. Oh, we look into the ditch and we see those who are vulnerable and helpless and beating and bleeding. As the unborn. And we speak out to defend them who are utterly helpless. Once again, we don't do it because it's the right thing to do or the moral thing to do. We do it because it's the Christ thing to do. Because Jesus was once a child in the womb, making all of them valuable. Oh, when we see a young woman in a crisis pregnancy in the ditch, and she's beat and bleeding and vulnerable and left half for dead, and she doesn't see that there's any choices at all, we speak up. Why? Because it's the moral, the right thing to do. It's the Christ thing to do. To let her know that she is loved. When we see a post-abortive woman or a man in the ditch, it's vulnerable and helpless, and you know the whole line. We do it because it's a Christ thing to do. We reach out to them. As Christ, we get down in the ditch with them. We feel their pain. We offer healing that can only come from the objective and complete forgiveness of Christ. We lift them up and we walk side by side. When we see those who are whose life doesn't seem to have any value, those who are disabled, those who are terminal, those who just doesn't seem to have any hope at all. Many would say, you know, what's the use? They're only suffering. There's no value in their life. But when we see them as beaten and bleeding and vulnerable in the ditch left half for dead, what do? Do we speak up on their behalf to defend the life that God has given unto them? See, we have a message to give that Jesus is present in our suffering. That He works in our suffering to accomplish His purpose. You know, yesterday sitting at the kitchen table of Catherine Leakai, as she grieved the death of her daughter, you know, it's hard. But a verse that comes to mind is that God works for the good in all things of those who love Him or called according to His purpose. Even the suffering that leads to death, God uses as His gift to us. As you and I walk on that road, we do so as citizens of this country. We pray for our president, who a new one will be inaugurated this next Friday. We pray for the men and women that represent us in the Senate and in the House of Representatives in our unicameral. We pray that God would give them wisdom, that we would be a people that values life. We pray for changes in our politics and our laws and the attitudes of those who make them. But most importantly, we walk along the road as citizens of heaven, for we are united with Christ. We walk each day remembering our unique perspective as Lutheran Christians. Because you see, we know what it's like to be in the ditch. We know the pain and the suffering that's there and the ugliness of the world in which we live in. But we have a message of hope. We are people of the ditch that can get down in that ditch to help people out of it. Because it's the Christ thing to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.